This is the Monologue Podcast, a platform for new short fiction where we showcase original monologues read by actors to give you that theatre feeling from the comfort of your earphones. Join us for another audio adventure brought to you by Orange Theatre Company. Time to pinky promise, solemnly swear, and take it to your grave. Secrets Part 2 is about to begin.
From Orange Theatre Company, this is the Monologue Podcast. I am Saira Ehrens, and with me is Daniela Down.
Hello!
Welcome to our second episode in the three-part series Secrets, recorded at our live event, Tiny Theatre.
Tiny Theatre is our way of taking the Monologue Podcast on the road, or rather, to the stage. On today's episode, you will hear three of the nine monologues that were performed live at Sexyland in Amsterdam.
They were recorded in front of a full house, so the monologues you'll hear are live and unedited. Content warning! Please be aware that this episode contains some adult themes and naughty language. Listener discretion is advised for younger ears, but for everyone else, enjoy! Without further ado, let the show begin!
This trio of monologues, entitled Love, follows three friends who are dealing with the consequences of a TikTok challenge gone wrong. Loved is a monologue play written by John Mabey. John is an American playwright and storyteller. He loves life as a southerner and can usually be found writing plays on his front porch, drinking sweet tea, and getting visited by a gang of relentless but adorable feral cats.
The monologues are performed by a versatile and talented bunch. Türkü Koksal is a Turkish actress with a background in literary studies. Thijs Miedema is a Dutch actor and a voice actor. And Pinar Karaslan is a Turkish-Swedish actress. They all live in the Netherlands. Here is Loved, a monologue play in three parts.
I'm not going to talk about her. People always ask me if I was scared. I was terrified. For the first minute anyway, and then nothing. Almost peaceful. Almost. That's what I told the police. It's all over TikTok now, but I found it on YouTube first. They took down the video later. They had to because of the lawsuit. It was easy to find, just had to scroll past all the stupid stunts like the ice bucket challenge for some charity and planking challenge for like on benches or stairs or whatever. But the dead zone challenge was different. Everyone knew what it was, but no one wanted to talk about it, even now. Especially now. Benji and I both said no, but she made us do it. Nothing ever scared Amber. And even if it did, she never showed it. But I'm not gonna talk about her. Benji and I got into a huge fight about the name of the whole thing. But we always fight. I think that's what you do when you are in a serious relationship, when you're in love. I said the Dead Zone Challenge was called so because you're supposed to do it between Halloween and Christmas, like a dead zone between scary stuff and happy stuff. But he thinks it's because it's like you're almost dead when you do it, like you're buried alive but still breathing. So Benji, Amber and I got all the stuff at Hama that night. Anyone purchasing plastic sheeting, shovels, rubber hoses will be denied purchase and be, you know, they will be given to the authorities. So, you know, we decided to buy all those random crap as well and the crew. I'm not going to talk about it. The hardest part was digging the hole. It's only a foot down, but it's so much work and you know, it never looks that hard in the movies. I went first. I had to because Benji looked so freaked. He always has his handshake when he's scared. After I climbed in the hole, she whispered, "Are you sure, Riley?" Like she knew I was freaked out and she wanted to hear me say it. And that made me hate her even more. Can you forgive me for that too? The rubber hose was easy to breathe through, but it tasted dark, like something I shouldn't ever taste. I closed my eyes when they started shoveling the dirt on top of me, and the sound it made, actually, the clumping on the plastic, was kind of nice. A sound like that scrape when you walk through snow, like muffled, soft, then quiet. Maybe I fell asleep, but next thing I know, 5 minutes later, they were pulling me up, and Benji went next, and then Amber. I want to know what it was like. I think she wants me to know when it happened, when she stopped breathing. It was just some tiny pebbles I put in the rubber hose. I didn't even plan it. Not really. But when his back was turned, I just dropped them in the hose like my hands weren't my own. I wasn't trying to block all the air, you know, just make it harder to breathe. It's like a joke, like she would do to us. Like, you know, she pretended to have a seizure during ice bucket challenge or fall during planking, and just to scare. I needed her to be scared for once, and that's the only reason I did it, I swear. They keep saying that it's not my fault. The families, the court, even Twitter, but they are wrong. Maybe that's why she visits me every night, since like a dream when you're awake. You know, that swing in my front yard, I'll hear the ropes twisting, that muffled, soft scrape. I'll see her in front of my bedroom window. Not the her I remember, but how she looks now. The ropes twisting over and over and over and over and over and over and rotted. Rotted. What's my penance? What takes this all away? I'm not gonna talk about her.
This is really what you do. Talk about problems. And you went to school for that. I'm sorry, but how does that make you feel? It doesn't work on me. Maybe those rejects who actually need therapy will spill their guts. Smart people don't fall for that crap. I know why I'm here. Got to do what the court says. And after Mummy did some reno on a building at UvA, I got you as my assigned therapist. The one who'd be the easiest. That's why you're here. But you're not going to say anything. Oh, that's fine. I can go the entire session being quiet too. What are you making a year? No, don't tell me. If it's under six figures, it'll just make me sad. Like Riley. Sad all the time now. You think she'd be grateful? Happy that we got her off with community service? You should see how the internet loves Riley. Someone even made a fan account on Twitter. I just get all the hate tweets. You want to know the secret? The internet loves Riley because she's poor, but doesn't show it. We all hate poor people the most, it's true. I mean, the poor make people feel guilty and the rich make people feel jealous. Those are our only crimes. It's not always a crime when someone dies. I mean, accidents do happen. And Amber was an accident in more ways than one. And whatever hold she had on my girl. What are you writing down on that notebook? You do know that everything I say in here is private, right? I mean, you're like a priest without the fancy robes or the respect. I could literally say anything about what happened that night and you can't do a thing. Like, maybe I did see Riley gather some pebbles from the ground. And maybe for every pebble Riley put in Amber's hose, I secretly put in a few more. Maybe. It's funny how something so tiny can do so much damage. But hey, I guess even an avalanche is just a bunch of tiny snowflakes, yeah? I got most of the pebbles out before the cops came. No matter. Riley blames herself. And the more she does, the more she hates Amber too. See, grief's tricky, but hate you can mold. Like snow. And I love the winter. You're not going to say anything. No, how does it make you feel? Or tell me about your childhood. Right? Okay, you should be paying me. Actually, I should get paid for this stuff. Yeah? Maybe I'll write a book. A tell-all. That would sell. And I'd end it with the trial and acquittal. Nobody cares about the aftermath or whatever. That stuff's boring. Like Riley's depression. All my dreams. I mean, they got to be dreams, right? I mean, the dead don't come back. Could you stop staring at my hands? They just shake when I'm really bored. There's a swing in my backyard. It's pretty old, broken. I never use it anymore. It scrapes against a tree trunk, if you do. But I hear it every night, scraping. And that first night, I looked outside to see who it was. Now I don't even look anymore. But even in daytime, I can't walk past that tree when I go home. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize time's up. Is it okay if we... Can we just sit? Yeah, I don't think I can leave yet. I can't. Please don't make me go home.
Love is weird. Not like love itself, but I mean everything around it. I remember when Riley told me. Never forget it, actually. It was during the political science class. We ruined my favorite pair of jeans. We got paired for this group presentation with this total loser named Benji. We just snuck outside to get high. So we did the whole thing ourselves. It was somewhere between the sections on political theory and industrial relations where she blurted it out to me. God, I just love you. Friends say that all the time, you know? I mean, even without words. Like that time we ditched and, you know, hung out at Fondle Park, staring at the sky while she stared at me. Only it was different this time. Big, complicated. And I just looked at her.
Not that I'm minded. Or judged. Or anything bad. It's just that the quiet overflows with everything we don't say. I don't think there's anything to be ashamed of, really, with how she feels. But Riley was ashamed. I could say that from the way her hands shook. My aunt is the same. She has lived with her roommate for a few decades now. And refuses to call her anything else, even though they hold hands and kiss on the lips when it's dark. So I think it's good when people say things, such things, out loud, you know? Just like Riley did. I guess only if you're not the only one saying it. So Riley started crying and ran outside, and I froze. Was she mad at me? Hate me? Mad that she still loved but hated me now? That's when I noticed that my pen had leaked all over my jeans, and I still could not move. Deserved it, I guess. You know, I'd do anything, anything, for another chance, if she'd let me, which she won't. It doesn't help that she started dating that total loser right after. I mean, she's so unhappy, you know? And he makes her feel even worse. I think that's why she hates him. Never laughs anymore, as if she's numb. That's why I keep on making those pranks and jokes. And like anything, I mean anything, just to make her chuckle. So when I saw that challenge online, I thought, which was totally scary, by the way, I thought maybe this is something that can make her feel something again. So just before her turn in the ground, I whispered, "Are you sure, Riley? You mean if she loved me?" And she just stared back at me, through me. She's been looking at me that way ever since dating Benji. That's when I got the idea. I know. A little drastic, yes, but I mean, she's worth it, you know? So just before, you know, it was my turn in the ground, I stuffed some pebbles in my hose. Yeah, not too much, just a little. Just a little, so I can still breathe. Huh? So when I get out, she'll be mad at him, blame him, dump his ass, and tell me that she loves me again. And this time, only this time, I'll tell her, "I love you too, Riley. I love you too." Maybe not in the way she wants to hear it, but I mean in the only way that matters, right? And then everything will be good again. I wonder if it's been 5 minutes yet. It feels like I've been in this pit like forever. Like I'm dreaming. I keep imagining myself on those swings, climbing higher and higher toward that sky, closer to the people who knew me and loved.
For your lesser-known quote from a famous play. Today's quote comes from Duncan Macmillan's People, Places, Things, first staged at the National Theatre in London in 2015. This bold and timely play doesn't shy away from difficult questions about addiction and recovery, and, rightly so, doesn't answer them. The lesser-known quote from this famous play is,
I find reality pretty difficult.
Why not use it as your WhatsApp status or slip it into your next conversation?
We are coming to the end of the show, so it's time for a plug, plug, plug.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Thank you. Hey, you. Do you want to be part of the podcast?
Well, we have our next live show coming up on November 1st at Yellow House in Amsterdam. And the theme for the night will be System Failure. We are accepting monologue submissions until Monday, October the 2nd. So send us your original 3 to 5 minute monologue inspired by the theme System Failure to us at info@orangetheatrecompany.com. You can submit as a writer or as a writer-actor. And Danny, anything else coming up?
Yes, our play.
Which play?
Well, A Christmas Carol, of course. Orange Theatre Company, aka us, when we're not podcasting, are staging an awesome adaptation of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol from November 24th to December the 3rd in Amsterdam. Syra is producing it, I'm in it, and it's going to be festive AF. So, go and get your tickets from orangetheatrecompany.com. They are available right now. And we sold out the show last year, so jump on that sleigh today, baby.
That's a wrap, folks. Syra, thanks for hosting with me. A round of applause, please, for the writers and actors who contributed to this episode and were part of our live show. Big thanks to James Cook, who made our original theme tune and music. If you want to know more about his work, head to jamescookcomposition.com. This podcast was edited by me, Daniela Down, and that's it for now. So bye-bye, dag, doei, ciao, adieu, joigin, auf Wiedersehen, jaijen, sayonara, au revoir, toodaloo, adios. Later, alligators.